It is obedience to the small things that God may tell you to do that can set you up and propel you into the place that God wants you to be. Many times, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, we want the big miracle. We want the big signs and wonders. We want to see the huge demonstrations. Hey, welcome back, married couple, Mr. and Mrs. Scott. We missed y'all. And do you know that it's just the simple acts every day of obedience to God that sharpens your focus, that causes you to be able to hear God on a daily basis? I'm going to try to paint a picture for you. A vision, if you will, that the Lord has just kind of placed in me. Brad, you need to get a hold of this, what I'm about to say, because this has to do with the things that we are talking about on Fridays, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to paint this picture, and then what I would like to do is take what I'm going to describe to you and really put it in something that I believe that will really impact people and help them see what it is that God has called this church to do, but what is God has called every believer to. And so today, as I was just, I was actually in the middle of a business meeting and just having this vision, right? And Jennifer's like, you didn't tell me about this vision. When have you seen me today? And, you know, that can startle you when you're in a business meeting and you get a vision from God when you're supposed to be doing business. So how do I describe this? This is unusual for me to be at a loss for words. Jennifer will tell you that. This is unusual for me to try to figure out because I want to get clarity on this. All right. So let's say that you have two people that come in to the church. And, maybe a guy and a girl, two separate people. And where they are in their lives is they're not saved. Maybe they've had a pretty rough life. Maybe they've been bound by sin. You know, they come in and we have the opportunity to minister to them. Okay? And so in this meeting, in this service, they both get saved by the power of God. Hallelujah. Now, that is just the beginning for them. They are starting, they are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All of us were there at one time or another in our lives. We became new creations in Christ Jesus. That started, whatever your old life was, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Your lifestyle changes. Everything changes. Now you can step into the things that God has called you to do. But it begins a transformation process is just starting. At the time that they became born again, they became perfect. Everything was right within their spirit. They became joined to Jesus, and he is now living on the inside of them. But then something starts from that day where Christ needs to be formed in them. Jesus is on the inside, but their thought patterns didn't change. Some of their habits didn't change. They are now on this process of being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord and allowing themselves to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, right? Everybody agrees with that. We've been going through a transformation process. And so what I saw was, if you're looking at the screen, I saw it more kind of as a visual. If you're looking at the screen, and on the left side, you have these two people that come in that as they start this journey, that as they go through and they learn what it means, who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them, and they learn and they start developing and walking in the gifts of the Spirit, that slowly they begin, their physical appearance begins to change. And it changes, and the more that they go, they start hearing the voice of God, and they start operating not, you know, they may go to church and they may you know, learn different doctrines and things like that, and that produces some measure of change. But the real rapid change in their life happens as they start hearing the voice of God by His Spirit and obeying it, not adhering to doctrine that they've been taught. Because adhering to doctrine that you've been taught, while that will produce some measure of change, it will limit you, and it will limit your growth potential, because you are limited to what's happening just from the pulpit. And so your growth happens on Sunday morning, and it happens on Wednesday night, and the rest of the week, you're stuck. And no church and no man has it all together. If you're looking to come to a place where the pastor has it all right, you're in the wrong place. 99% yes. No, it's probably more like 98. So, you know, because why? This church is a part of the body of Christ. It is why God has set in the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, all of those. Why? Because the pastor isn't the apostle, the prophet, and the evangelist all mixed in one. He's not. He's just part of it, and all of it is needed to grow them up. So if you're just expecting growth to happen from doctrine preached from the church, growth can and will happen, but it will not be on the scale that God designed for you as a believer to grow. So, you see that they're getting doctrine, they're listening to the word, and there is some measure of transformation. But somewhere along the way, they then learn how to hear the voice of God. And they recognize, my growth doesn't come out of just doctrine. My transformation comes as I am hearing the voice of God every day of my life, and as I obey the voice of God every day in my life. Because what God tells Micah on a Monday or a Tuesday is going to be completely different than what I may need on a Monday or a Tuesday. And if Micah obeys what God said on Monday, then Micah has just stepped into another place. He's just been changed to another level of glory, because he's just heard the voice of God. And now, because of his obedience, the measure that he measures, God can now measure it back to him, right? And so it's in his obedience and hearing the voice of God that the rapid change is going to take place. So what I saw was that as they continue and they learn, that all of a sudden, as they step in and step out in faith and listen to God and obey his voice, there's rapid change. And so as it's morphing, if you will, as it's merging, what happens is both of those people end up changing into the image of Jesus Christ. So you have the beginning as they enter. You have the end measuring up and changing into who Jesus really is. Now, this is the thing. So do you have that picture, Brad? Okay, don't forget it, because we're gonna work on that. The things that we're talking about serve to do that. That's kind of the vision for those things. So, we can be very impatient. We can look at our lives and we can sit, look at where we're at right now. I'm 45 years old and I can look at myself right now and think, wow, I really thought I'd be further along than I am right now. What do you think about it, Becky? We look at where we're at and we look at the past 20 years in the Word, the past 30 years in the Word, or wherever we're at, and we look at where we're at right now, it's like, I really thought I would have been a lot further out, farther along. I would hear the voice of God. I wouldn't have the problems that I'm having, you know. I wouldn't be living where I'm living. Jennifer says, amen. I know that's the case. You know, you just, all of us, we look at our lives most of the time and we see what we don't have. We're very impatient. And we live with regret. And sure, if I had to do it all over again, I certainly wouldn't have do it that way. Well, guess what? You can't do it all over again, so don't get caught up in it. But the thing that I've learned, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Man, I'm just obeying what the Holy Ghost is saying right now. You know that, you know, I wasn't thinking about any of this for tonight. Gosh, thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, I talked about covetousness a week ago. I didn't go to this scripture. But let your conversation, now, that includes what you say, but it's actually talking about your lifestyle in general. Be without covetousness. In other words, when you talk to people, you don't say something hinting that you need something. Hinting that you would like what they have. Patrick, I'd love to go out to dinner with you this Friday night. You know, so I'm believing God for the money to be able to go out to eat with you. What did I just do? I just hinted to him. I do really want to go out to dinner with him. But now by letting him know what I'm believing for, if the Lord moves on him to buy my dinner, then I'm okay with that. See, what I've done is I've just subtly planted a seed. Planted a seed so that he could fill my need. Because why would I tell him I'm believing that I have the money to go out to eat with you? Bible says have your faith to yourself and before God. Yeah. I don't need to get his agreement for God to do for me what God has already done for me. No, the reason I told him was so that I could hint a little bit and give him the opportunity to hear from God, because apparently he hadn't heard up to this point. See, I'm just joking. So that's why whenever I go out with people, for the most part, I mean, I am ready to go out, and if I ask them out, I am ready to take the bill and pay for it myself. You know, I don't expect people to buy my dinner. Because I am a son of the Most High God. Amen. And if I go hoping that they're going to pay my way, then it tells me that my mindset is one of I don't have enough. My mindset is not a son of the Most High God. If I'm always hoping, is Craig going to be the one? What'd you say? Okay. Is James going to be the one? If I'm always looking, you know, for the opportunity for somebody to supply my need, my trust is in the wrong place. I was talking to somebody who stands to receive a significant inheritance. And so, in just joking around with them, I said, you know, when that happens, you probably need to store some of it someplace else. You don't want it all in one place. If you need for me to help you store that, let me know. As that was the week before I talked about covetousness. And that day, the Lord prompted this scripture to me and said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Oh, sure, I was joking. But if by joking and throwing that out there, and then if they get that inheritance, and then they feel like, well, maybe I should give them, then I would be okay with that. And so maybe my heart wasn't really pure in the conversation that I was having with them. This is all about living by faith. What is your perspective? Are you living out of the kingdom? Or are you looking to others to supply your need? Let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, be content with what you have. The problem with many believers is they are not content with what they have. But I'm believing God for a new car, or I'm believing God for a new house. Oh, that's fine. He didn't say, be stuck with what you have. He didn't say, you can't get anything else. But he said, be content with what you have. You may not be happy with your living situation. Be content with what you have. Why are you content with what you have? Because when you know that God has given you the kingdom and your place of faith is in the rest that He has provided, then whatever your current situation is fine because your trust is in Him. It is when that we're not content, not thankful, not at peace, that we take ourselves out of living out of the kingdom and we start seeing ourselves without. Discontent is a symptom of the root cause of doubt. You see yourself without something, and so you're not content. And if you're believing God, what'd you say?
I said I didn't wear the right shoes for this.
You may preach on this side, Mike. You might move back there. So we know that the Spirit of the Lord is right tonight. Is this blessing anybody else? Because, you know, I didn't think about any of this today. I love what's going on Wednesday nights. This is awesome. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Why? For He hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you are, whatever the situation is, Whatever your job situation is, whatever your living situation is, whatever your writing situation is, wherever you are, God is right there with you. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Your situation, while maybe for some of you it is not your ultimate aim in life, you're believing God for better, be at rest that it's already provided and taken care of. And that means you have gotten to the place of faith instead of a place of, I don't have it, I don't have it, I don't have it, but I'm believing God. You know, I hate to say this, but a lot of times when we say we're believing God for something, because we keep saying we're believing that it will come to pass, we always have it out there in the future, our believing actually is the opposite. We see ourselves as not having it. And my Bible says in Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received it and you shall have it. In other words, it is a spiritual and eternal reality before it becomes a natural or material reality. Yeah. Now back to my vision. We do this very same thing with regards to our spiritual life. With regards to our spiritual journey. It's good to want to desire and desire more of the Spirit. That's why we are all here tonight. We want bigger moves of the Spirit. We want to be in a place that we're hearing the voice of God more. But you need to know that everything that you need to be to that place, you have residing on the inside of you right now. And really what is happening is that you are in a place today. I don't care if you're young or I don't care if you're old. I don't care if you've been in the Word for 20 or 30 years or just been in it for a year or more. It doesn't matter. Where you are right now in your spiritual walk with God, be content. Be thankful. Because your whole life is a journey. Your whole life is a transformation process. Your whole life is Christ being formed in every thought, in every word, in every action. Your whole life is you being changed from glory to glory to glory. You don't get to 50 years old or 60 years old and say, I'm done. I am there. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Here's another reason why you can be content with what you have. What do you have? You have the kingdom. Many times when we read that scripture, to be content with what we have, we only think of it from a natural standpoint, from a materialistic standpoint. And so we think, and it's the way that I actually started off with that scripture. Okay, what do I have? Well, I have this house. I have this car. I have this situation. I have this. And we immediately read it and we go into it from a natural standpoint. But let's go a level higher. What do you really have? It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what you have. So I'm content with that. I'm content with having the kingdom. I'm content that he has given me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I'm content with that. I'm content that Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what I have. I'm content with that. I'm content that Jesus became poor that I might be made rich. So that's who I am in Christ. I'm content with that. I'm content that by his stripes I was healed. So I'm content with that. That's what I have. Hebrews chapter 6. Now, in verse 4, he says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Now, this has been taught wrongly. People will take the scripture and say that, you know, you have to really watch it. You can fall from grace, you know, and once you fall from grace, there's no path back to Jesus. This is, you know, God will not forgive you again. You get one shot and that's it. What he's really saying, go to verse 5. Go to verse 6. He says, if they shall fall away. So they made a decision. They rejected Christ. They said, now these are people that were filled with the Holy Ghost, that experienced the power of God in their lives. And then they turned their back on Jesus Christ. They went back into a lifestyle of sin and they said, "I am done. I don't believe any longer." Okay? None of us have ever been to that point. He said, "It's impossible if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance." It is not impossible for God to forgive them, because forgiveness was already done in the person of Jesus 2,000 years ago. But there is a point that God finally has to give somebody over to a reprobate mind, that once they get to that place, they will never themselves come to a place that they will repent again. So the issue is not God not forgiving somebody. The issue is that a person can get so far gone that they will never find themselves their way back, so that they're willing to come to God and repent again. Okay, that's what this scripture is talking about. So if you ever question your salvation and somebody tries to use this to beat you over the head with it, just the fact that you're willing to repent tells you you don't qualify for this. Okay? But I want to go back to the verse 4 and verse 5. I want to kind of close with this. Go to verse 4. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have," what's the next word? Have you ever gone to an ice cream, Baskin Robbins, someplace like that, and you see 31 different flavors and you can't make up your mind? And so what do? You just ask them, "Can I have a little taste of that one? Can I have a little taste of that one?" You want to find out which one you really want. And so they give you a little taste. But none of us would leave that ice cream store taking a taste of something that we like without buying it. Unless you're my father and you walk in without any money. Which he did many years ago. And so it was presented to him, but he couldn't pay for it. It was not a good day in the Matchin household. No. He really teaches a good message based off of that. But a taste. You want that. You won't be satisfied with the taste, will you? You don't want to go through all 31 flavors and say, "Okay, I'm good. See y'all later." Because they give that to you for free. All right, so he says, "You were once enlightened, you have tasted of the heavenly gift. You were made partakers of the Holy Ghost." Next verse. Nope, not the previous one, the next one. That's okay. And you have what? Tasted the good word of God and what? The powers of the world to come. You've tasted the powers of the world to come. Everything that we are doing in life, this transformation process that we go in through, that we're going through, this being changed from glory to glory, this knowing and seeing and allowing the gifts of the Spirit to operate through us, in us, to others, is only a taste of what we are going to experience in the world to come. That's why I can say with certainty that all through your life, you never get to the place that you say, I'm done. Why? Because you haven't stepped into the world to come yet. We're just tasting, and we're tasting more, and we're tasting more, and we're tasting more, and we're on the increase, and we're tasting more. But it's nothing compared to what's going to happen when we're living in the millennium, when we're living with God. So, I have a choice to make. I can either be frustrated and discontent with where I am in my spiritual growth right now and my relationship with God. And I can live my life in constant frustration and discontent and beat myself up because I'm not where I thought I would be spiritually and hearing His voice. Or I can recognize I am on a life of change, a life of hearing better, a life of obeying more, a life of seeing an increase of His Spirit, a life of seeing more signs and wonders, a life of knowing more revelation, a life of seeing things, of knowing things, a life of allowing God to move through me. I'm going to allow Him to be formed in me. I'm going to obey Him. My thoughts are going to change. My words are going to change. My actions are going to change. And I recognize that where I am right now, man, if I just listen and obey the voice of God, then I am moving. I am changing. I'm allowing Christ to be formed in me. And if I accept the fact that this is a lifelong process of just hearing and obeying, hearing and obeying, hearing and obeying, hearing and obeying, allowing God to use me, then I'm okay with right where I'm at. Amen. I'm content right where I'm at because I know that God can take me right where I am at and give me the next step. And it won't take me 5 years to get the next step. But if I keep seeing myself as without, because I'm not content, because I'm not thankful, I will stop my growth in the Spirit of God. Now, that does not mean that you're content with where you are to the extent that you're like, I'm good with where I'm at. Yeah, I get a little satisfied. That's a good word. Content and satisfied are two different things. Content means you're at peace. I'm content. Satisfied means I don't want anything else. I don't want to go any further. It's not what he's talking about. Don't be satisfied with where you are, but be content with where you are, knowing full well what you have in Him and what God is doing in you. Amen. Hallelujah. So I believe that tonight revelation was born on the inside of some of you. And this may be why some have stopped their growth spiritually or stopped, you know, and won't allow God to use them because they've just been discontent with where they are. Amen. Glory to God. So, some nights, like tonight, it's going to be a real strong focus on teaching. The Holy Spirit will want to do something and change some things in people's lives. But I always want to give, what do you need?
Sorry, I need the piano down. It's way too loud. I can't hear you.
I'll take care of that. So, let's allow the Spirit of the Lord to move. Like I said, I know that He's deposited some things into you tonight. Glory to God. Let me fix this for Selena. Can you hear me okay up there?
A little more?
This is something that we've been talking about. Turns out that all this time she's been playing, she can't hear me. And it would be good for her to hear me. Can you hear me now? Are you good?
Thank you.
Thank you. Stand up. Let's just pray for a moment. Thank you, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, what a rich word tonight. What a rich word tonight. You love us so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. If the Spirit of the Lord has laid something on your heart, now's the time to come up and just share that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Shikro to sugra bate sikide me. Kebrakte shikro to sungre mende. Thank you, Jesus. This is something that has been a real problem for people. And it's been a symptom of not really living by faith. Lord's taken us to a whole nother level, a whole nother place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you have something to share? Yeah. I'll get it.
No, just just as Pastor was sharing, just I kept thinking about those verses in Ephesians chapter 4 that, you know, they're really Paul's kind of laying out the roadmap for how God grows the whole church. And he talks about how that, you know, God puts ministry gifts in the church. And it says that they equip the saint. And that word equip is the same word that shows up in the Gospels. It says when Jesus found the disciples mending their nets. And it's this idea that those ministry gifts connect us to each other, connect gifts to each other. So in one thing I can think about, you know, to be very content with who you are and what God has gifted you to do and who He's gifted you to be because you're so necessary for someone else. And then it says that, and Brother Pat, if you'll just come here, sir, and it's this, when we shake hands, it says that this is the body, that it's, this is the joint that supplies. And it's not just a me taking my gift and ministering to Pat, or you taking your gift and ministering to me, but it's acknowledging what we share, who we are, and say, now let's work together for someone else. And it says that as we are aware of that and do that, that God begins to hook things up and He grows the whole church. You know, church, that's how we will grow. Here, and I mean now us in this church, that it's so vital that we understand that each of us has been given something. Each of you has a gifting and a ministry gifting, something that's there that's so necessary that we hook together and gifts join together so that there's this corporate anointing that pushes out from those things going together, and we accomplish greater things together than we ever will by ourselves. Amen.
Amen. That's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just really feel like that right now, there's some repenting that needs to go on. Glory to your God.
As you were ministering and your last word saying repenting, everything connects now. You said that we sometimes get impatient and we need to be content where we are. And the Lord kept telling me that is sometimes we put that impatience on somebody else. For instance, like our children. We have in mind what we want them to be, how we want them to be. But God has a plan for each of our children. And repenting for me putting my discontentment on my children for what I thought. God has a plan for my boys. And I see when you start talking about loving no matter what goes on, I thought, okay, I'm going to just try this. I'm going to try loving my children instead of seeing my impatience. And I've seen Trey grow into such a man, and I'm sorry for putting my impatience into your life. God has a plan so huge for you, and I see you stepping into it now. So we need to be mindful of our impatience on others as well as where we are.
That's good. Think about where you've been discontent. Think about where you've been discontent regarding others and where you've kind of shown impatience to others and where they are. And let's just make a change. That's what repentance is. You're simply making a change. A change is a choice. You make the choice to change. Everything happens on the inside first. So say this, Father God, I recognize that I have not been content in some areas in my life. And so, Father, I repent. I make that change now. In Jesus' name. I'm content with what you've given me. I'm content with the kingdom. I'm content with where I'm at. Because I know that Christ is being formed in me. So, Father, reveal unto me any areas of discontent, any symptoms of lack in my mind, any symptoms of, discontent, symptoms of lack, any areas of doubt, in the name of Jesus. And as you reveal those to me, I'll deal with it, and I'll make the change in that area, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your discontent, of any sin, of any doubt. It's taken care of. So it doesn't need to be another thought. Don't need to be worried about that anymore. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything else to add to that, to share? Hold on.
Pastor Mark, it's not really about discontent, but this is something that I guess God has kind of been dealing with me about since last Wednesday. I was not here last Wednesday because my daughter and I flew to Bridgeport, Connecticut to be with her friend for a graduation. And when we got there, we had flown and traveled. His mother invited us to go to church with her that night. So we were tired, but we went. And the lesson that was being taught was on obedience, coming from the Old Testament scripture of Haggai. So during the session, we shared. It was a small group. We shared and with the other members there. And near the end, she asked if there was something else that anybody wanted to say. And I kind of asked, I told the pastor, I said, you know, she had just said something. And I don't know how many of you have had, like, premonition or a vision. You see yourself somewhere. You've never been there, but you see it. And at that moment, when she said what she said, I recognized I had seen myself in that situation before. And so I was kind of asking her about things like that. And she pointed out that my obedience to come, to attend, caused that to come to pass. And what I saw is that our obedience blessed them. It blessed our hostess. It blessed those church members. And it blessed me. It was really a blessing. So this morning I was reading in, I believe it's Philippians 2:8, where Jesus became obedient even to the death on the cross. And so all of these things is just about obedience.
Yeah.
Even in the small things. And I kind of didn't want to share, but then I thought, well, you talked about obedience so, starting out. So I said, okay, I think you're giving me a sign.
Praise
that I
God.
Need to share this.
That's good. So she had already seen herself there.
Someone else shared about being the body.
Yes.
When I was here, I saw that. And those people were a part of us and a part of me. Mm. So, you know, that was a blessing, twofold blessing.
Yeah. So you were giving out of the supply that God had given you. They were giving out of the supply that God had given them, part of the body altogether. She had had a vision ahead of time that she was in this place. If she had not obeyed, she was too tired to go to church, then she would never have seen the fulfillment of that vision in her life. And it just would have been one of those, don't know what that was kind of things. But by doing that and then going back and saying, wow, I had a vision of that, her obedience solidified She's learned something about hearing the voice of God. You can't ever take that experience away from Hazel. You can't take that away. Something happened on the inside of her because of her obedience.
I was asking the Lord.
Is it working?
I was asking the Lord about, Lord, how do I be content? Where do I start? And he said, stop complaining. Too many times we forget to thank the Lord for the blessings he's given us. And when things aren't going right, we just start complaining about the things we don't have or the things that are going wrong. And when I was asking, because I find myself doing that a lot, you know, So he just told me, he said, stop complaining. And when you feel yourself about to start complaining, substitute thankfulness. And start thanking me for the things you do have instead of complaining about the things you don't.
We may have all worn the wrong shoes tonight. The Spirit of the Lord, see, the Word of God, as it goes forth, it cleanses. Our prayer should be, Father, get the stuff out that doesn't line up with your will. Get the stuff out. The bad habits, the bad thoughts, all of that. Father, whatever it takes for Jesus to be formed in me, I am that willing vessel. And so sometimes, like tonight, the Spirit of God goes in and deals with real deep issues. This is great. This is awesome. God's good. Okay, anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Finally.
This goes right on what you have to say. I know I get impatient with that little child right there so much. And I have to, what you said, and Pastor Mark, to build upon, when we look at our lives and we get impatient, we've either, one, put our goals, our agenda, our visions, our plans on other people. And when they're not living up to what we see is the standard, that's when impatience sets in. Or it could have been we started out right. We started out with God's plan, God's vision, God's dream, God's goals. We've taken that to heart. But if we turn that into a work of the flesh, we're taking it out of the realm of the Spirit. So that's when it's going to leave the side of patience where the Spirit is concerned, and it lends us right into a work of the flesh, and that's where impatience is going to concern. So check yourself. When the impatience is setting in, was it, one, your original goal, or two, was it God's original goal that you've now taken into the realm of a work rather than left it in the realm of the Spirit? Because when it stays in the realm of the Spirit, you're going to have the contentment. You're going to have the settled peace of heart, peace of mind that surpasses all understanding, where impatience can't rattle you, where it can't get you off a path. So thank you for that. And to do what you did, I have to ask your forgiveness. Thank you.
You can't plan a service like this if you tried. But what if we had never stepped out 12 weeks ago and said, let's let the Holy Spirit do what he needs to do? What if we never did that? Then we wouldn't have been to the place that we are right now. This is that transformation. This is another step. This is another level of glory. This is this is us being changed right now. It's happening tonight. Something happened. if you'll take what was said and allow the Spirit of God to reveal that in you. And I will say this. I'm about to close the service. But he's not through dealing with you. This is not 8:30. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm done, because Pastor said amen. You need to take, you need to allow what has just happened tonight. Because I don't know if you can sense it, but I can sense that what happened here tonight is very powerful. Major change is taking place in people's lives tonight. We're seeing, you know, angels or signs and wonders. No, this is a transformation. This is the Word of God dividing asunder between soul and spirit. This is discerning thoughts and intents. This is major things happening tonight. It's big. It's big. Hallelujah. So allow him to continue to work on you, through you, even throughout the rest of the week. He's doing a major work. Amen? Amen.